This is The Guardian.
Today, what happens when you spend a whole week watching GB News?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Heather, how did you begin to prepare yourself for a week watching GB News?
Well, one was explaining to my family that sort of preparing them for the fact that I was going to be watching a lot of unusual content.
Named as one of the top best psychics in the world.
Yeah.
Next year, the election. Any sense?
Well, I don't think Keir Starmer gets it.
Really?
No.
You know, I knew it was right wing, but I didn't have that many preconceptions about it. So I was, in a way, I was kind of intrigued, I think, rather than anything else.
7 o'clock, Farage. At 8, join Jacob Rees-Mogg. And at 9, Dan Wootton Tonight.
So I just sort of, you know, plunged straight into it.
This is GB News.
The Guardian's special correspondent, Heather Stewart, recently embarked on a pretty weird assignment. Spend all day, every day, watching one of the UK's newest TV channels, GB News.
So I sort of kicked off on Friday and through the weekend. And, you know, some of the content is very standard sort of breakfast show fare.
Grant Shapps, the energy secretary, is going to be on. I'm going to be asking him naturally about...
That is, you know, not a million miles away from Laura Koonsberg's show. And then slowly, as you watch more of the kind of opinionated shows, they have very strong views.
The World Health Organization now think that four-year-olds should learn about sex and reflect on what their gender identity might be.
Four-year-olds. And I've got to say, as time went on and as I watched more and more of this stuff, you know, it started to feel increasingly kind of dark.
It's called identity politics. All we need to do, lob a sample of DNA to one of the Ancestry websites, cross your fingers, wait for the results, and there's every chance you'll be at least 3% Ugandan.
If you haven't been paying attention to GB News, and actually that's most people, you might think the proudly provocative right-wing news channel that launched with a bang nearly 2 years ago might have folded or just faded into the background. But Heather says that would be wishful thinking.
There are moments during the week when it will be getting more viewers than Sky News, for example. You know, it's not tiny. It hasn't gone away.
GB News might not be a major player, but it has a purpose, and it's carrying it out.
It's amplifying and giving a platform to views which then find their way into the mainstream, the political conversation. And so I think it is worth understanding, you know, what's the worldview behind it and what's the sense of the world that you get if you spend some real time with it.
Britain's watching.
Britain's watching.
Join us here on GB News.
The People's Channel.
Britain's news channel.
From The Guardian, I'm Michael Safi. Today in focus, conspiracy theories, technical chaos, and former cabinet ministers. How GB News survived and what it looks like now.
GB News will not slavishly follow the existing news agenda. We are committed to covering the people's agenda. We are proud to be British. The clue is in the name.
Heather, GB News launched with fanfare in June 2021, billing itself as a challenger to a safe British television establishment. It aspired to do news well, but it would be a place where you could have debates that didn't have the guardrails in place at other networks, something closer to an American cable news channel. But it didn't get off to a great start, did it?
No, it really didn't. They had lots of technical difficulties early on.
Every day. Easier said than done. What is that banging noise going on?
I don't know. It sounds like a microphone is going live. Anyway.
There's a mouse or something going on around here. Chat to us today about this, and we'll discuss this later on in the programme, back after the break.
After the break.
Back after the break.
That was your clue.
You know, there was some sort of really cringeworthy moments. There was a moment in The Breakfast Show when they sort of inexplicably interviewed a Winston Churchill personator, which was just very strange for something claiming to be a news channel.
And you yourself were pushed out after all your successes.
Absolutely. That nice Mr. Attlee managed to unseat me at the end of the war. But of course he was a...
So he did not get off to a very sort of smooth start, let's say.
And was their critique of the industry right, that TV news in the UK is a bit stodgy, uninspired, that it is vulnerable to people who want to disrupt the industry?
So I think something that is true is, you know, I think they would acknowledge that there was a feeling in the wake of Brexit, and I guess also in the wake of the sort of 2017 general election, when you'll remember that Jeremy Corbyn ran the Tories surprisingly close, or surprisingly to a lot of people, there was a feeling that mainstream media, in inverted commas, it missed Brexit. It sort of failed to understand Brexit. There weren't enough voices in the media that were putting this alternative view, sort of outside London, you know, not liberal metropolitan view. And that seems to me to be quite a legitimate aim to try and bring some of those views in.
And so way back in June 2021, it launches, it has a pretty poor start, and there are already questions beginning to appear about its future. What happens next for GB News?
So you'll remember that was the period of the Black Lives Matter movement gaining prominence in the wake of the death of George Floyd. It was being very, very much talked about. And one of the ways that it sort of played out was, you know, was it appropriate to take the knee in solidarity? And one of the host's presenters, Guto Harry, who had previously worked for Boris Johnson, we should say, so hardly a crazy Guardian reading left winger. But anyway, he took the knee on his show.
I actually now get it, and so much so that I think, you know, we should all take the knee. In fact, why not take the knee now and just say it's a gesture, but it's an important gesture. And, you know, it's not about...
You know, that caused absolute outrage. You know, there's evidently a bit of a sort of viewer backlash. Apparently viewing figures went down to zero at some points following that.
Wow.
And quite soon afterwards, he was out, he was gone. And I think that was a sort of key... moment, key decision in a way, you know, which way are you going to go? And, you know, they are going to go down the sort of, I suppose, the anti-woke path.
Interesting. So not open debate, all views tolerated, but very clearly one particular group of views would be pushed.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a sort of irony to it, right? Because it was a group of people who felt their views had been underrepresented or missed out, you know, and the response to that is to sort of focus in on that particular stream of opinion and push it, really, is the feeling you get.
Good evening. This is GB News, and we are 5 weeks old. We are a fledgling in broadcasting terms.
So very symbolically, in the aftermath of that, it was the very much next day, I think, after Harry was got rid of, that the channel announced that they were going to appoint Nigel Farage as a presenter. You know, and Farage sort of tweets, "I won't be taking the knee." I mean, in a sense, you can say they're following their audience, right? Because it came after an audience boycott. But, you know, they very much planted their flag at that point in the sort of the fringes of the right, I think you'd probably say.
They're the negatives. But what about the positives? Why am I here? Why have I decided to join GB News full on? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I believe in GB News. And I believe in Andrew Neil. I think he is one of the...
And then a few months after that, by the autumn, Andrew Neil, who'd been this very high-profile senior broadcaster who was sort of central to the launch of the channel, he says he's departing.
Well, I had always made it clear it wouldn't be a British Fox News. Fox deals in untruths, it deals in conspiracy theories, and it deals in fake news. The differences were such that the direction they were going in was not the direction that I had outlined. It was not the direction that I had envisaged for the channel. But I was in minority of one.
And very quickly after that, Dan Wootton, the sort of evening presenter, turns round and says...
What a disappointment Mr. Neil has proven to be. Look, I believed Mr. Neil genuinely wanted to shake up biased news broadcasting in this country, to deliver for those ignored by the BBC, ITV News, Sky News, And yes, Channel 4. But I was wrong. He's an establishment man through and through, and he belongs at Channel 4.
So again, that feels like quite an important moment when the channel was really sort of planting its flag in a particular bit of sort of political territory rather than saying, you know, we're going to be at the home for a sort of wide range of views.
So Heather, in the week that you spent watching, what did you find the channel is like now? What are the themes that obsess its presenters?
So sort of wokery, however you define that, is an absolute obsession. This idea that they need to combat a kind of, I suppose, what would you call it, a left-wing or a progressive worldview. There's a sense that there's an establishment view.
What we have to do is eject woke as a general policy for government. And I'm afraid woke is a thing in government. And when the Labour Party says the Tories have got to stop fighting the culture wars, actually, the Tory party has to get a grip of the culture war.
Start fighting the culture wars.
Start doing it. Start defending what is inherently British. They've got to do it.
And this covers issues like gender, for example. And there are stories, it seems to me, that, you know, would barely be given any airtime on other media and or in the papers, for example, that, and they get absolutely amplified and repeated over and over again. You know, there was a sort of a row in a Starbucks branch that involved a couple of members of the public, you know, having a sort of set to for apparently misgendering somebody. Hmm. You know, Dan Wootton did that repeatedly, you know, had sort of different guests on to discuss it.
Tonight, an extraordinary twist in the case of the Starbucks manager fired for physically and verbally assaulting two customers. And explosive new details have emerged of the violent altercation we first brought to you yesterday. Coming up, but first, shocking new details have been revealed about the trans employee at Starbucks who was... So now, speaking out for the first time since their horrific attack, I'm delighted to be joined live in the studio by the victims.
Heather, these sound like the kinds of stories that are exclusive, but for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, often they're based on stories that have been picked up from the right-wing press. So it's definitely part of a kind of ecosystem where there'll be a story that maybe won't be huge and it'll be picked up and given lots of airtime and guests will come in and it'll be chewed over. And I think probably part of that is because they're really keen to build an audience, a community. And, you know, if you talk to people at GB News, they make really clear, look, the telly is one thing, but, you know, we also want this really engaged, really committed audience. And of course, we all know that to get engagement from an audience, sometimes kind of righteous outrage, you know, is really powerful. And all of that is added to or amplified, I think, by the fact that they're very good at sort of clipping up controversial bits, interesting bits, sticking them on Twitter, which, of course, is very closely watched in Westminster and by politicians or by, you know, albeit perhaps not by much of the rest of the world. So it has a way of feeding into public debate.
It's a big story, this. Rishi has gone squishy when it comes to legal migration.
Oh, yes. Look, you know, since 2010...
And the other issue, and I think this is governed partly by what the headlines were about in the week that I was watching it, but migration came up over and over again. It was an absolute obsession, not just in terms of, you know, let's discuss the economic impact of migration, but some views that felt to me like they sailed very close to the wind. So discussions about culture. You had Lawrence Fox, who has a show, who is a, you know, sort of actor turned sort of populist. But he talked about a projection that net migration could hit 1 million.
Land ahoy! Welcome back. New figures are to be released later this month that could see net migration top, just wait for it, 1 million this year.
And he sort of mimed pulling out a gun and shooting himself.
Jeez.
Oh, it's kind of delivered in a not quite a tongue-in-cheek way, but almost a light-hearted way. But at the same time, it's very, very dark.
And I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. I feel like my culture is being replaced in front of my eyes. Right, in the interest of balance, because why not?
Yeah.
Because we've got to be balanced. Thank you, Mr. Ofcom, patronise your public. Yeah. In the interest of balance, are you and I just both white supremacists?
Part of the reason that British TV hasn't had a channel like this one launched before is because the industry is so tightly regulated. What are the rules about covering news on television?
So broadcasters are regulated by Ofcom, and it says about news that it has to be covered with due impartiality. Now, that's different from balance. So that doesn't mean if you've got a right winger on, you've got to have a left winger on and you've got to give them 5 minutes each. It's very different to that. You're meant to have a range of views or different views, alternative views represented. And so, you know, it's absolutely fine to have a really opinionated presenter. That's completely allowed. It's even fine, and Ofcom have said this, it's fine to air conspiracy theories. That's fine, as long as you give some counterbalance. If you talk to people inside GB News, they say, you know, they think that probably means 10 to 15% of the sort of views expressed during the programme need to be different to the presenters or the sort of channel's stance. But, you know, GB News people will say to you, well, look, we've had two Ofcom rulings against us in our kind of 2 years. One of them was for the show presented by a guy called Mark Stein, who's since actually left.
Last call at the Jabba Jabba Saloon, at least in Scandinavia. Sweden will no longer jab children. Denmark's abandoned the...
One of those was about the sort of misuse of statistics. It was COVID vaccine related. And the other one was about an appearance by Naomi Wolf, the sort of conspiracy theorist. I mean, she'd used the phrase mass murder.
I mean, it's not surprising a mass murder has taken place. And this is a massive crime. Of course they want to sweep it under the rug because mass murder has not just taken place, it's still taking place, disabling people into the future, sterilizing the next...
I think it was the next day Naomi Wolf expressed some pretty outrageous views, but that was fine because in the show there was someone else who kind of questioned her views. And also apparently they put a banner across the screen that said something like, you know, Naomi Wolf criticized for her controversial views. Now, you know, there's quite an interesting debate to be had there, isn't there, about is that completely fine for someone to go on and say something totally wacky that appears to be a variance with the facts if someone else maybe later in the show says, I don't agree with you? I don't know. But that certainly seems to be the view that Ofcom has taken. And, you know, I think GB News perhaps understandably feels, well, we've only had these two rulings against us. And by the way, there was no fine involved. There was no threat of them losing their licence.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, what are the penalties if you fall foul of Ofcom regulations?
Well, they can shut you down. So they did that to Russia Today, right, when there was a sense that they were just broadcasting in the wake of the Ukraine invasion. They were just broadcasting, you know, out and out propaganda, and they moved to shut them down. Ofcom have had GB News in for a meeting to talk about how to deal with conspiracy theories and how, you know, you sort of need to be careful about that. But I think if you're GB News, you think, oh, well, we've only had these two rulings against us. Probably most of what we're doing is fine. You know, and they Ofcom declined to rule against them over a Neil Oliver broadcast.
There's a war on and not enough people know it. I'm not talking about the Third World War warming up nicely between Russia and the West over the weeping sore that is Ukraine, but the silent war waged by Parliament against we the people. It's not just between us. Britain.
Used to present a very anodyne programme called Coast on the BBC. You know, it was all rather bucolic. Well, he's been on a real journey and is now vehemently convinced that there's some sort of global plan.
Those in pursuit of centralised power of a one-world government hate, and with every fibre of their being, sovereign nation-states. That said, they reserve a special loathing for national constitutions.
He has a weekly show, and he expresses himself very strongly every week. There was a particular episode of that show in February that was complained about, including by the Board of Deputies of British Jews, who felt that he was expressing anti-Semitic tropes because he was talking about the idea of politics being controlled by a sort of global elite. And actually Ofcom said they acknowledged that language he used did suggest that politicians were being sort of controlled by a global elite, but they didn't find against GB News. They said they'd just given them some guidance about how to make sure they're being careful when broadcasting conspiracy theories.
I mean, in that way, Heather, has GB News shown the limits of Ofcom's ability to police the public discourse? That actually there's a lot of misinformation you can get away with broadcasting, even despite the presence of the regulator and its rules?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, you know, you could say Ofcom's sort of chosen to take the stance that it has. It seems to feel that it's not a bad thing to have an alternative voice out there in the discourse, to have different sort of views represented. They can launch their own inquiries without complaints. But, you know, I think it seems a lot of what they do is responding to viewer complaints, you know, unless they're literally being paid to do it like I was. I suspect there aren't many people watching GB News to comb through every single minute and hour of this channel's output.
Thank you.
Heather, GB News made a more than £30 million loss in its first year. Yet it's also recently signed a deal with investors for tens of millions of pounds to keep the station running. So who are these investors and what's in it for them?
They've got these rather generous backers. They raised £60 million last summer from a couple of investors. One of those is Legatum Ventures, which is a Dubai-based financial firm that also funds sort of right-wing or a free market think tank called the Legatum Institute. And the other is Paul Marshall, who's this kind of quite interesting figure, really. He's a hedge fund manager. And then he's obviously been on a bit of a journey. You know, he came out as very pro-Brexit in the run-up to the referendum. And now he's, you know, bankrolling this channel. And there's a real sense that they want to be a sort of disruptor. You know, they want to shake things up. And that fits perfectly with some of these decisions that we've talked about, you know, do they try and represent a wide range of views or do they sort of plant their flag on a bit of the sort of radical right and put themselves against, you know, against cancel culture, as they call it, and against wokery and all of those kinds of things. And it certainly feels like that's the kind of thing that the funders have in mind.
I'm Jacob Rees-Mogg, the Member of Parliament for North East Somerset and a former government minister. For years, I have walked the corridors of power in both Westminster and the City of London.
Is it too simplistic to just see GB News as Conservative Party TV?
Yeah, I think it is, because it's a particular bit of the Conservative Party. It's not the mainstream of the Conservative Party, really. You know, it's not the guys who are actually running the government, or not most of them. It's a particular bit of the Conservative Party, a sort of bit that elected Liz Truss. It's the bit that still feels angry that Boris Johnson got thrown out. You know, Dan Wooden talks about Rishi Sunak coming to power through an anti-democratic coup.
The Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and his authoritarian Chancellor Jeremy Hunt were both put into office in an anti-democratic coup. And the last two prime ministers approved by party members, by the way, have been forced out when the deep state conspired with the mainstream media, especially the British Bashing Corporation.
You know, it's this sense of, it's a particular bit of the right that somehow is managing to feel sort of outsiderish and betrayed, despite the fact that their guys have been in power for more than a decade.
He is in office, but not in power, Dan. Now, who knows who facilitated his rise to power, but they were not Brexiteers. Rishi reminds me of a sort of irrelevant little mouse on puppet strings that's more obsessed with the international stage and doesn't want to upset Biden and the EU than make the bold decision this country needs to reduce immigration.
So it's the globalist elite.
It is. It's hyper-globalism. The Rishi Hunt cabal support hyper-globalism.
And I think it probably is having an effect, not necessarily on the wider public debate, but if nothing else, on the debate in the Conservative Party, which, as we saw with Liz Truss, you know, that has a real impact, because these are the guys that, and the Tories are in power, these are the guys that choose who the Prime Minister is. So I think it is, you know, the audience isn't huge, but I think it is having some impact on the sort of issues that get picked up and the tone of public debate.
And it sounds like what they're focused on is not so much now. Like, they're looking forward to what happens if and when the Sunak government is defeated, that fight that we expect to erupt within the Tories. Like, GB News is spoiling for that fight.
A bit. I mean, I think they would like it to happen now, right? I mean, I think they would like Suella Braverman to be sort of carried on the shoulders of a, you know, grateful British public to number 10. But, you know, realistically, it's hard to see any way in which that actually comes about. So I suspect the real fight will come afterwards.
Coming up, GB News doesn't make any money, doesn't break many stories, but does any of that matter?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
T- 2 years into the life of this station, JB News doesn't really break stories. It's not a ratings powerhouse. They're losing money, relying on financial backers to keep them on air. All of that would be a problem if your goal was to set up a profitable news channel. But from what you've said, JB News is better understood as a kind of influence network. So I suppose the question is, 2 years in, are they having an influence?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'd love to make a profit, but I think, you know, they think you're right. They feel they're securely funded for the time being and they can crack on with doing what they're doing. You know, I think it's just keeping alive, I suppose, voices that might otherwise fade from view. You know, someone like Esther McVeigh, you know, she's been a cabinet minister. She's sort of fallen out of favour. She's on the backbenches. You know, we wouldn't necessarily be hearing a great deal from her, but somehow her voice remains part of the debate. And it's the same with Jacob Rees-Mogg. You know, he's just a humble backbencher these days, right? But, you know, so I'm sure he'd be interviewed now and again. But, you know, his voice is sort of kept alive and amplified by the fact that he's got this show.
Hello, good evening. It's me, Jacob Rees-Mogg, on State of the Nation tonight. The lead story is the great non-story. The Remainer blob continues on its crusade.
You know, and then he has debates and those find their way somehow back into the political discourse.
Heather, finally, having spent a week marinating in this channel and its views, did you find it left any kind of imprint on you?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think in some ways it's very good, right, to get outside your filter bubble. And, you know, I live in North London, I have to be frank. And, you know, it was probably very good for me to, you know, get a sense that things that I would assume were, you know, widely shared are not necessarily widely shared and maybe need to be fought for, right? And I tell you, one of the other real abiding thoughts that I had was the things that I didn't hear very much about. So the state of the public services at the moment, whether it's the health service or libraries or parks or schools or whatever else, barely heard anything about that. Cost of living crisis. There was a bit of chat about the sort of food crisis, but I didn't feel like I got to know much about the viewers' sort of daily lives and the issues that were affecting them day to day. Because it seems to me that, you know, gender wars is not necessarily the primary thing on your mind if you're, you know, maybe struggling to make ends meet. I was, in a funny sort of way, I was almost more struck by the things that didn't feature very much as by the things that did.
And that if you're a viewer of this station who feels angry, who feels like the world is changing, it sounds like you're more likely to come away thinking that's the fault of trans people, of the left, of Guardian readers, rather than the things that actually shape the circumstances of your life.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, then there's also this sort of, there's a bit of a sense of kind of impotent rage about it, you know, because there are ways that we can change, you know, a lot of the, what we might think of as being the most pressing issues facing the country. You know, one of those might be to chuck the government out. But, you know, that you end up, if you focus all the time on these kind of culture war issues, you end up feeling kind of impotently angry. And I don't know whether that's a great mood, really. I mean, maybe that is how people feel, and maybe it's healthy for that to have an outlook. But I didn't come away feeling very hopeful.
Heather, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
That was Guardian's special correspondent, Heather Stewart. You can find her story about a week spent watching GB News at theguardian.com. GB News said in a statement that it had chosen to be an Ofcom regulated channel and that it took the broadcast code seriously. It said all staff receive Ofcom training when they join us to ensure they understand the code and the importance we place on complying with it. They went on to say that Ofcom had never made a finding against us for a breach of its due impartiality guidelines. To date, we have broadcast more than 13,000 hours of live television and 9,000 hours of live radio. Ofcom is very clear that due impartiality does not mean a 50-50 balance. Instead, broadcasters are required to include a range of views. Diversity of opinion is what GB News is all about. A spokesperson added that GB News abhors racism and hate in all its forms and would never allow it on the channel. Before we go, Guardian columnist Marina Hyde is on tour in June for a series of live events around the country. Marina will be joined in London by Jonathan Friedland on the 1st of June, in Leeds by Gabby Hinsliff on the 7th of June, and in Brighton by Gary Young on the 13th of June. You can go to any of the shows in person, or you can also watch the London show via live stream. Tickets are available now at theguardian.com/live-tour. And that's it for today. This episode was produced by Tom Glasser, who also watched quite a lot of GB News this past week. Sound design was by Solomon King. The executive producer was Phil Maynard. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
This is The Guardian. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.